You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 326.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, back in Chicken Town, for real.
With an evening of robots and coffee ahead. It doesn't get any better than this, Kevin.
Talking robots tonight, as we do every year. We're going to get right into that as soon as we can. Only one thing standing between us and a big list of robots, and that would be National Whatever Day.
August 11th, Kevin, is a day to celebrate something that I never remember that I enjoy until I'm actually doing that.
Podcasting? Oh, you said enjoy.
Yes. Okay.
Do go on, please.
I always forget that I enjoy bowling until I'm actually doing it.
Okay.
August 11th is National Bowling Day. Now, do you remember the first time that you bowled?
The first time I bowled? No, I don't. I would have been quite young. I did a little bowling as a kid once in a while.
And we're from New England, so yeah. was it candlepin or not?
It was probably candlepin, because that's easier on the kids, because it's the little pretend bowling balls, the candlepin bowling.
Yeah, the tiny ones.
Yeah. For you people outside New England that don't know candlepin bowling, it's a weird regional bowling variant in which you don't use full size. It's not the big Fred Flintstone ball. You throw three of them per frame instead of two,
right.
like in real bowling. The pins are shaped differently. They're not as curvy.
Did you just call candlepin bowling by, like, the other form of bowling? Did you call it real bowling
as if
candlepin is not real bowling?
And then the other difference is you leave the wood, the dead pins. You knock down a pin. If it doesn't drop over the edge, if the dead pin is still laying there, it's still in play. They don't sweep it between balls. It's just laying there dead. The dead soldiers are still up there, and then you can use those to try to knock over the other ones.
Which I would say makes the game infinitely more fun.
It's candlepin bowling. And then in junior high, I graduated to real bowling because we had a weird Friday afternoon junior high bowling league.
It's actually upsetting me to hear you refer to candlepin bowling as somehow not real bowling compared to the other form of bowling. As if it's fake bowling.
And then there's something called duck pin.
Yes.
Yeah. And those like little duck-shaped pins. I've never done that.
I keep meaning to do that.
Yeah?
But it's really hard to find. Yeah. I did candlepin bowling from the start. And I also have memories of bowling being the signal on Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
That the period of time that the cartoons were going to be on TV is over
it's
now.
All
because
over.
We're going to sit here and watch people bowling.
This concludes our fun for the day, children.
Right.
The signal is bowling.
Exactly.
You can watch people bowl, or you can go outside, burn a few calories, burn some Captain Crunch.
I never understood the appeal of bowling on TV.
And TV bowling was big. It was hugely popular for many, many years. It was wildly popular. I don't think it is anymore.
I've heard there's a resurgence, at least on the web, on YouTube.
Oh, well, drooling idiots on YouTube will watch anything. That doesn't count. There was celebrity bowling on TV as well, like in the 70s.
Yeah,
there was televised celebrity bowling. Because I watched, probably on YouTube, but I watched the Brady Kids doing televised celebrity bowling from back in the 70s. It was magnificent.
I could just imagine them all smiling and bowling.
They were smiling and bowling.
That's a beautiful image right there.
Oh, you got to see Eve Plum out there on the lanes. Look out. Now, up at Fun Spot, New Hampshire's classic arcade full of all the classic video games and pinball games from the 70s and 80s, Fun Spot also has bowling, and they have both regular bowling and candlepin bowling. You can pick what kind of bowling you want at Fun Spot.
Yeah, most places have one or the other.
Oh, yeah. That's the only place I know of with multiple bowling formats under one roof.
Yeah.
It's magical.
Because it's the awesomeness of Fun Spot. Some of the variations that I have seen, there was cosmic bowling.
What is that?
That's still a thing. they painted up the bowling alleys with glow paint, so when you put a black light on it, it looks really cool.
Oh, yeah, they light it up weird for nighttime bowling.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like a disco.
And yeah, and put on the music.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Is it disco music? What do they play?
Whatever the kids are listening to these days.
Yeah. What are the kids listening to? Like BJ Thomas?
Depends on
Dottie West. I might be slightly out of touch.
Depends on the bowling alley that you're at. The one I like to go to is back up in my old stomping grounds of New Hampshire. Sometimes I go to King's Lanes, which is out in Goffstown. It has this King's Bowling Lanes.
It's full of gangs. They all wear shiny matching bowling jackets.
Yeah, it's where I got scrappy as a kid, you know. That's where I got tough and prepared to face the world was at King's Bowling Lanes.
Like West Side Story, there's roving, singing gangs everywhere you go.
Absolutely. That's totally what my childhood was like in Goffstown. So they just put the jukebox on free play, and it still has all the music from the 90s.
Sure.
Which I don't think
so. It's a lot of Deep Blue Something.
And Spin Doctors. Yep.
Dishwalla.
And that song, what was it? Alana Davis, Black Velvet. And
Alana Miles.
Alana Miles, Black Velvet.
Yep.
And an occasional Milli Vanilli tune.
Alana Davis, was that the girl that covered Ani DiFranco, 32 Flavors?
Yes.
Yes. Wow, we sure know our 90s Alanas, don't we? That's the indicator that we're such serious bowlers.
Something
That's
about bowling just brings out our Alana knowledge.
You want to do some bowling, you better know your Alanas.
So, if there's to be anything controversial about bowling in National Bowling Day, I would think that it would be the addition of bumpers for bumper bowling.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this. And that's for kids, right?
Is it?
I don't think the bumpers are allowed at a professional level, for example.
Ah, so
really lowers the degree of difficulty, doesn't it?
I think the world of bowling has gone soft, Kevin. That's my concern.
I think you're... Oh, how about the automated scoring?
Oh, geez.
Because remember, when I was in my junior high league, somebody would have to slave over the overhead projector, you know, doing math.
Yeah. Happy National Bowling Day.
Happy Bowling Day, kids. And happy Robot Day to you right now.
It's robot time.
Because, Cornflake, do you realize this is our 7th annual Flopcast Summertime Robot-themed Top 4.5 list?
How did I make it to my 7th robot list without getting fired?
I didn't go back through the archives, so this is from memory, but previous lists, this will not be in order, but our previous robot lists, we've done Top 4.5 cartoon robots, live-action robots, robot songs, evil robots, robot animals. And there was one year we just couldn't think of anything, so we did a whatever robot list. No rules, any robots you like. I think I just listed our previous 6 robot lists. So we're doing it again, because it's summertime, and that's robot time for us.
It does get tricky after a while, and you still managed to pull one out. You came up with one.
I came up with a robot subject this year, yet again. We didn't have to fall back on just make a whatever robot list. We have an actual subject this year, and the subject is giant robots.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1. What point time? The top 4 point time list.
So that's simple enough. Giant robots.
It is.
Top 4.5 giant robots, and that can mean whatever you want it to mean.
Right.
To me, it means a really big robot. Call me a traditionalist.
Sometimes giant is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
I liked that you gave this flavor to the robot list this year. It kind of made it easier for me to come up with a list.
I didn't realize how many flavors there were to robots until I started licking them.
32 flavors and then some, according to Alana Davis.
Alana Davis loves how many flavors robots come in. Alana Miles, meanwhile, can't stand them. Next week, we'll do top 4.5 Alanas. How about that?
Okay.
This week, however, Cornflake, top 4.5 giant robots. You're up first. What is your number 4 giant robot?
Let's take a look at Marvel Comics and talk about Sentinels from the X-Men.
Wow. You're going deep on Marvel Comics. I love it.
I think the X-Men are the number one reason why I've always been more of a Marvel girl than a DC girl.
Ooh, okay. We'll have to fight this out. You know I'm a DC kid.
You know I'm going to lose because you're way more into comics than I am.
The Sentinels. Yeah, I'm vaguely familiar with the Sentinels, but not too much. I've never read a Sentinels story. I know that they exist. It's giant robots.
Yes.
And they would fight with the X-Men?
any mutant, they can sense mutants. They exist to destroy mutants.
Ah, okay.
That's what they are. Right. And they can do things such as teleport, and they have superhuman strength.
Sure.
They can even turn humans into sentinels.
So wow.
It's kind of creepy, and they don't even have to bite them like a vampire
would. Take a human and robotify them.
Yes.
And they're giant.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are enormous and dangerous. They are definitely the baddies. I came to know of the Sentinels from watching the X-Men cartoon.
Yeah, they used them in the cartoon. Okay.
Back in the, what was it, late 90s and early 90s.
Yeah, which I never really saw much of that, but I know people love it and speak very highly of it.
Loved that show.
Yeah. Well, I like that you've got Marvel Comics giant robots. Now, I wonder if the Sentinels have ever done battle with Magneto, because if these are big metal robots, Magneto could just fling them around, right?
I'm so glad you asked, because I am wondering the same thing. It's almost enough to make me want to do a deep dive on Marvel.
Somebody must know.
I'll
bet we have listeners that know Marvel Comics way better than we do.
Come find us, Marvel listeners, and tell us what's what with Sentinels and Magneto.
We know you're out there, true believers. All right, that was number four. That's good. What's my number four? I have at number four, it's a little on the nose, but I went with the Iron Giant.
We have a match.
I thought we might have a match. What number for you?
Number one.
Number one. Nice.
So you're talking about the 1999 movie,
yes.
I presume.
Yes, I am.
Brad Bird's directorial debut, as in the guy who directed The Incredibles.
This is because he went on to Pixar, did Incredibles, and this year's Incredibles 2.
Yes.
Which I enjoyed. Have you seen it yet, the sequel?
I have not seen it yet.
You just saw The Incredibles original for the first time this year.
This year is part of your
movie project.
Exactly.
So if you want to be like the rest of us, you could wait like 14 years, as we did, before seeing Incredibles 2.
The whole point of my watching The Incredibles, the original movie this year, was that be prepared to see Incredibles 2.
Just imagine the year 2032, Cornflake.
Time to watch Incredibles 2.
Put it in your calendar.
With my robot eyes, because
yes.
By then we will all be.
We will all be robots by then, certainly. Yeah, Iron Giant, what a beautiful little movie.
I'm so glad that you have this on your list. I love this movie.
Well, it's great. And I hadn't seen it in a long time. And I saw it yesterday, preparing for today's top four and a half list.
I saw it yesterday, preparing for today's top four and a half list.
Wow. We were like Linda Ronstadt and James Ingram. Separate, unbeknownst, both watching Iron Giant somewhere out there. That's crazy. I hadn't seen it in a long time. So I popped it in, and man, that's nice.
So well animated. I like that animation style better than I like modern day computer animation.
Yeah, it's beautifully done.
And it's got Vin Diesel and Harry Connick Jr. and, like everything else in the late 90s, Jennifer Aniston.
Yes, you need Jennifer Aniston as part of, and that was the law. In the 90s, Jennifer must be a part of everything, and so she was. Vin Diesel was the voice of the robot, right? And Harry Connick was a junkyard owner, beatnik artist. And that's good, because I don't think we see enough beatniks these days.
There's one other movie that I can think of that has a character like that.
A junkyard-owning beatnik artist?
Or at least a junkyard-owning possibly artist?
Yeah.
Garden State.
Oh, haven't seen it.
Okay. Garden State had a junkyard hanger-outer.
But it was not cartoon.
Garden State was not a cartoon. It wasn't
cartoon Harry Connick. You want to see a good beatnik every once in a while in a movie. Those are fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am a fan of beatniks.
And you don't see them very often.
It's, yeah. It's
an untapped market.
I mean, for a kids movie. Yeah, let's put a beatnik artist.
Yeah, in. Like my mind is racing right now. What other things do beatniks show up in at all? And I'm not coming up with very much. Wasn't Gilligan, Bob Denver, he was a beatnik in the TV series pre-Gilligan, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis. I believe Bob Denver played a beatnik type character. There was A Bucket of Blood, classic bizarre horror movie with Dick Miller. A rare starring role for character actor Dick Miller. And that takes place at a beatnik coffee shop.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
We've gone from Iron Giant.
You should not watch it, though.
To Bucket of Blood.
Yeah. Yes. A Bucket of Blood. No giant robots, but lots of beatniks. Iron Giant, however, both. Giant robots and one beatnik.
I had forgotten that this was set in Maine.
Yeah.
Rockwell, Maine.
It's late 50s Maine.
During the Cold War.
The Iron Giant made a return to the big screen this year in Ready Player One.
Ah,
which
yes.
has all kinds of pop culture stuff mixed into it because it's virtual reality. You haven't seen Ready Player One, have you?
I have not.
Yeah. I read the book a few years ago, and yeah, the movie's fun, and it definitely has the Iron Giant.
Wow.
is in the movie, which is very fun.
Just such an adorable movie. This robot has such charm.
All right. We love it. Iron Giant. If, like Cornflake and I, you haven't seen it in a long time, take a look. It holds up.
It really does.
It's been, man, almost 20 years old now, this movie.
Giant Robot is so much fun.
Yes.
I want a giant robot to fall from space and be my friend.
I'll make some phone calls. All right, Cornflake, number three, Giant Robot, what do you have?
I debated whether or not to put this one on my list because in one of the lists past, I mentioned a song by the Aquabats called Giant Robot Birdhead.
Mm.
I know that the song has been an entry before. It may have been the year of our song list.
Probably.
If you go to an Aquabats show, there are pauses in the show where you look up at the screen and they play these advertisements from this company called Gloopy, which is a mock meetup company that markets Aquabat products, and they're usually ridiculous. And in one of them, they market a toy that is a giant robot bird head. And he kind of looks like a combination of a blue jay and Sam the American Eagle wearing headphones, and that's what his head looks like. And then he has the body of a robot, and he's got this special arm piece that shoots missiles. And it's almost cool enough that I'd actually want one, except they're not really marketing them.
Yeah, you can't really get one. So you have to go to an Aquabats concert to see this thing on the big screen.
Yes, and then just wish that you can have one, or if you've got really creative friends, you might be able to get one of them to make you a giant robot bird head.
Yes, we should all be working on that right now.
But I definitely want one. It's probably one of the coolest action figures I've ever seen.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I like action figures. I like robots. I like birds.
It's everything you could possibly want in a robot.
Yeah, we definitely need one of these. All right, you've sold me on one.
And it's a hero. It's not even a bad guy like a Sentinel.
I'm going to call this fake company that doesn't exist and order one right now.
Get Gloopy on the phone. It's okay. Time to order us some giant robot bird heads.
All right, my number three is, sort of similar to your number four in that Marvel Comics is involved.
Yeah.
But in a very weird way, because I'm going to the 1978 Spider-Man live-action TV series, which was made in Japan.
Which means there were probably giant robots involved?
There were definitely giant robots involved. Now, there was a live-action Spider-Man TV series in America at the same time, in like 1977-78. Meanwhile, they made a deal with producers in Japan to make their own Spider-Man show, which they did. And they made a very, very Japanese-style Spider-Man. The costume was pretty much the same, like Spider-Man looks like Spider-Man, but everything else completely different. He was a motorcycle driver who gets his spider powers from an alien who comes from planet Spider.
What?
And Spider-Man has a spaceship, and the spaceship transforms into a giant robot.
I kind of feel like this all ends with, and then Spider-Man woke up with a web wrapped around his face, and he batted it away and realized it was some kind of crazy dream.
I have a picture right here. Here's Spider-Man in Japan, and this is Spider-Man's giant robot. And you can see that's unmistakably a classic Japanese giant robot.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of a Transformer.
And this show ran for a couple of years. I've seen very little of this. I've seen clips here and there. It's just crazy. What would happen if the giant Japanese Spider-Man robot met the Sentinels? That'd be the greatest thing ever.
So Spider-Man could come along and save the X-Men.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes. Spider-Man's robot could save the X-Men from the Sentinels.
We are definitely messing with the Marvel Universe today.
The next Marvel movie is taking a bizarre twist once they put us in charge. So, yes, freaky Japanese Spider-Man giant robot is at number three. How about you? What would be number two?
Another entry that I hesitated to put on my list, but decided ultimately to include, used by the Galactic Empire in Star Wars, the all-terrain armored transport ground assault vehicle, known as an AT-AT, or also an AT-AT.
Yeah, I like AT-AT.
I think everybody does.
Yeah, I hear people say AT-AT.
Do you know why?
No.
I looked this up. Because I wondered. I tend to think of robots as powering themselves.
Yeah, generally you want some degree of autonomy in the robot.
Right.
But there's some wiggle room there, though, you know?
Yeah.
I've always thought of the AT-ATs as more a vehicle than a robot, but I think they can certainly fit into the giant robot category as well, just because they have that sort of animal shape to them with the legs and the head.
Yeah, they're a mechanized vehicle and they do look like an animal.
Yeah.
So they first appear in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, on Hoth.
Yes, Battle of Hoth.
The ice planet.
And since that movie, there have been variants of the AT-AT.
Now they come in different styles.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think one of the examples is AT-SD, but you wouldn't call that an AT-AT.
Okay. So people start breaking it down into the initials to account for all the variant versions.
Right. To be consistent, it's now called an AT-AT officially, but between you and me, I don't think anybody calls it that.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the classic AT-AT. Have you seen the AT-ATs at Logan Airport?
What? No. Is this what I get for flying out of Manchester all the time?
Yes, you're totally missing the best part of air travel. Logan Airport, which is the big main airport in Boston, if you're facing the right way, you can see AT-ATs on the horizon.
That's crazy. Who did that?
You can look this up. I think if you... we're going to do this right now.
Okay.
Just because... you can Google this.
Okay.
Google Logan Airport AT-ATs. And you can find this picture. I'm going to show you this picture right now, Cornflake.
Okay.
And if it's wintertime, even better, because then it looks like Hoth.
Really? Know? Yeah.
But check this out.
The heck? They do look like AT-ATs.
You can see a whole bunch of AT-ATs walking by in the background from Logan.
What are they actually, though?
I have no idea. Just Google that.
Everyone has just decided they're AT-ATs.
Yeah, just Google image search Logan Airport AT-ATs. We have AT-ATs apparently marching around just outside of Boston.
Of course.
So they certainly deserve to be on your giant robot list.
Cool.
And we know how to take them down if we need to, thanks to Luke Skywalker. where are we? Number two?
Yes.
Number two, I am going with a classic Hanna-Barbera cartoon from the 60s, and that is Frankenstein Jr.
Frankenstein Jr. was a robot.
A giant robot. Had very little to do with Frankenstein. It wasn't a monster. It was a giant robot. Sort of resembled Frankenstein physically, just barely. But this was when Hanna-Barbera was doing more, that they were kind of getting out of the goofy, funny animal cartoons and getting more into the action-adventure stuff in the mid to late 60s with Space Ghost and Johnny Quest and Birdman and all those. And this was sort of a transition phase cartoon, and that it was action-adventure, but it was also a little goofy. Frankenstein Jr. And it's a little kid, and his father is like a professor, and they have a giant robot. They would take it out, it could fly, the boy would ride on the shoulders of the giant robot, Frankenstein Jr., and like there'd be an evil alien would come to Earth, or some monster would get loose, or a mad scientist, and they'd go out with Frankenstein Jr. to take care of the problem.
Wow.
Let me show you a picture of...
Oh, yeah.
There's Frankenstein Jr.
Wow. I like his antenna.
Little antenna on top of the head, and there's the kid up there riding.
And he looks happier than any version of Frankenstein I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really not Frankenstein. It was just the silly name they used, I think. So Buzz is the kid's name. The kid was voiced by Dick Beals, and Dick Beals, classic voice artist, and also Davy on Davy and Goliath.
Uh-huh.
So it's the kid sounds just like Davy. You know, Dick Beals did the voice of Davy. He was the voice of Gumby. He was Bird Boy when they introduced a young kid to the Birdman cartoon. That was the same guy. His father, Professor Conroy, voiced by John Stevenson. He was Mr. Slate on the Flintstones, among many other things. And Frankenstein Jr. himself, the robot, was voiced by Ted Cassidy, best known as Lurch on the original Addams Family.
Yeah.
Among many other things as well. So great cast. A goofy cartoon, but I love all those cartoons of the late 60s from Hanna-Barbera. And there have been new Frankenstein Jr. stories in recent years in comic books, because DC has done all these wonderful Hanna-Barbera comic books, including a series called Future Quest. And Future Quest kind of gathers all these characters together from that era of Hanna-Barbera. So it's Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, Birdman, Frankenstein Jr., the Herculoids, and they're all working together. And it's great. Excellent, excellent series. So Frankenstein Jr. is back.
And better than ever.
Just when we need him more than ever. That's number two, Frankenstein Jr.
We've already gone over what my number one was, so I think it's your turn again.
Okay, going back to me again for number one, and where am I here? All right, number one, I'm going, and I think we've definitely talked about this giant robot before, but I'm going with from the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman, Bigfoot.
This is so neat to me that it is a Bigfoot and also a robot.
It was Bigfoot, but it turns out Bigfoot was a robot and a robot built by aliens who were secretly hiding inside a mountain on Earth. This was the greatest thing that ever happened. The first story that they did with Bigfoot on the $6 Million Man, Bigfoot was played by Andre the Giant.
So, because he's a giant
there you
robot.
Go. Giant robot. You've got to include Bigfoot because that was Andre, the greatest giant of all time.
Aliens is the best explanation I've ever heard for Bigfoot.
For Bigfoot, yes. Yeah, we did a whole show about Bigfoot a while back. So we definitely talked about the Andre the Giant version on that show. Here's a weird coincidence. So Andre did that original two-parter that was in the winter or spring of 76 on $6 Million Man. In the fall, new TV season, they did a sequel. They did another two-part story with Bigfoot. And this was, they split it between the first part of the story was on $6 Million Man, and then it continued. Second part was on The Bionic Woman. However, Andre apparently was not available, so they had to recast. Bigfoot was played the second time by Ted Cassidy. Lurch. The voice of Frankenstein Jr. So there's back-to-back entries on my giant robot list played by the same guy.
An excellent replacement.
The late, great Ted Cassidy.
Kind of perfect.
Yes. So Bionic Bigfoot, of course, at number one.
So we have already made it to the top of this list, have we?
Here we are. Number one half giant robot. I have no idea where you're going now.
I haven't spoken about it in a while, Kevin, but you know that I'm a fan of the webcomic Questionable Content by Jeff Jacks. It's a bunch of characters basically working at coffee shops and bars out in very similar to, if not exactly, Northampton, Massachusetts.
Right.
And the storyline over the past year or so has revolved around a character named Faye, and she got this job at this underground robot fighting ring. So the neat thing about Questionable Content is that humans and AI, artificial intelligence, robots, dwell amongst each other in society. And Faye ends up working alongside this gigantic fighter robot. By gigantic, I don't mean 10 times the size of her, but definitely large compared to the other robots and compared to humans. It's a character named Bubbles.
All right.
Gotta love a tough, beefy, giant robot named Bubbles.
It's a good name for a robot.
And as of late, Faye and Bubbles are an item now. And it's fun to observe because Faye is definitely a sass, and Bubbles is super serious and very literal. And it's cool to think that maybe someday we'll have these cool robots dwelling amongst us that can be our friends. And I would definitely want a tough robot around like Bubbles. She's just super cool. So she's number half on my list.
Right. Definitely did not see that one coming.
Really?
Was
the rest of my list that predictable that Bubbles was out of nowhere?
I correctly predicted the rest of your list. Yes. All right. Number one half. I have a weird one at the top of my list also. The other robots on my list have all been fictional, from TV and movies and whatnot. This is a robot that really exists, or existed at one point. It's probably not around anymore. This is a real giant robot, and it's a real giant robot that I once saw live in person.
Okay, Kevin, where did you see this giant robot?
We're going back over 30 years. Because I believe this was in the fall of 1987. I went to the Providence Civic Center in Providence, Rhode Island. Me and my goofy friends, and we were there to see the Cars. This was the final big concert tour of the Cars.
The band.
Yeah. And the Cars famously are not a very animated live band. They would just kind of stand there. They wouldn't move around. They wouldn't even talk between songs. They stand there like robots.
I was going to say, might you say they are a bit robot-like?
They were rather robotic in there. They sounded great, but not an exciting live show. I loved it. However, they brought along, perhaps realizing how dull they were visually, they brought along on that tour a giant robot.
So you suppose they might have been making fun of themselves with the robot?
The robot was way more animated than the band. And it had, like, big glowing eyes, like searchlights. It was sweeping through the audience, looking around at us.
Perfect.
And this was not easy to find, but I tracked down one picture of the giant Cars robot. You can't even see it very clearly in this picture, but here it is.
Wow, you're right. You know, if you hadn't told me that was a robot, I would think that that was just stage lighting.
Yeah, you can't see it very clearly in the picture, but believe me, that's a giant robot back there.
I could see why that would be your favorite robot.
That was a good robot.
Yeah.
I was very excited to see it.
That robot's going to drive you home tonight.
And that was my first Cars concert. I saw the Cars again in 2011 when they did their big reunion album and tour, and no robot.
Aww. I'm picturing Rick Ocasek singing to that robot, "You're All I've Got Tonight."
Do you think Rick still has the robot?
I know he does.
Like it's in his backyard?
Probably.
He converted it into a barbecue, perhaps?
He likes his backyard with the eyes.
I like
the robot.
To think.
The eyes also function as bug zappers.
Yes. Oh, we have to go visit Rick.
Yes, please.
Well, Cornflake, we've done it again. That was your 2018 Flapcast Summer Robot List.
Perfect.
It was perfect in its way, wasn't it?
It really was, if I do say so myself.
All right, no more robot list for another year. Cornflake, get us out of here.
We're on the internet. We've got a website, flopcast.net. We're also at facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter with a handle @flopcast, and on Instagram, where we are the_flopcast.
That's where to find us. We'll be back next week. Meanwhile, oh, it's bowling day coming up this week. Let's take the giant robots bowling.
That sounds like the best idea ever.
That's the plan, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Previously on Podcasserole. Glomer is one of the most underrated cartoon characters of all time.
Some call Glomer the Jar Jar of the PBU, you know. I haven't stepped foot inside of a Subway since, really.
And neither is Jared.
It's true.
You're over at my home every week. Is there a meth lab here?
Not a big one.
I choose him, the one called Kirk. I'm freaking James D. Kirk.
Find out more about Podcasserole now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. And don't forget AdamandJP.com and the ESO Network.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as $1 a month. Don't fret. All your favorite shows will still be available for free as always. But you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is go to ESOpodcast.com and click on the link. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
I haven't spoken about it in a while, Kevin, but you know that I'm a fan of the webcomic Questionable Content by Jeff Jacks.
Yes.
I
said that like Peter Brady. Yes.
I hope you leave that in. I'm not laughing at you. Yeah, I am laughing at you.
Yeah, that was good.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at ESOnetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.